Okay, good morning and welcome. Thank you for your attendance. Again, thank you to Rabbi Schechter for this program, but the program is only as good as those who attend the program. A special welcome and thank you to my mother, Rishus Imi Morasi, and to my wife. So hopefully this year will be even better than the previous weeks. Okay, just to begin with a thought from Parshas HaShavua. I try to begin every week with something related to the Parsha that relates to Tefillah. So this week's is kind of easy. There's a pasuk in Tehillim, in Perek Kuf Vav, where David HaMelech writes, Vayamod Pinchas Vayifalel. And Pinchas stood up. Perek Kuf Vav is a synopsis of the travails of the Jewish people in the Midbar. And in recounting the story of this morning's parsha, the pasuk says, Vayamod Pinchas, Pinchas stood up, Vayifalel. There are two ways to interpret that word, Vayifalel. Either it means he judged, in other words, he assessed the situation and realizes that he needed to spring into action in the way that he did, as described at the end of last week's parsha. Or the Targum explains, Vitzali. Pinchas stood up, Vitzali, and he prayed. And some point out that the word tefillah, which we use the noun that means prayer, or the verb to pray, comes from that same word, vayifalel. If that's so, that means that there is the root of the word to pray, according to the simple interpretation of the word, is related to the word to judge. How is prayer related to judgment? Some explain that there's a certain self-assessment that we engage in when we pray. In other words, on a simple level, we assess, perhaps, what's important to us. What's important to us personally, what's important to us globally or nationally, as a nation, as members of the human race. And then we entreat Hashem for those things. But there's an assessment that we engage in before we engage in prayer, in terms of our, let's say, mattering list of what's on our minds and what we want to pray about. So, Yamo Pinchas Vayifalel. So, if we take the two interpretations together, the word to judge and the word to pray, so then we have a little bit of an insight in terms of our prayers. Okay, moving back to our syllabus, which has been Psukei Dezimra, we have a little bit of an ambitious agenda this morning. We're going to try to discuss Mizmor L'Soda and Yehi Chavod, which are the last two parts of the Hodu portion of Psukei Dezimra, and then begin with Ashrei, the next part of Psukei Dezimra. So we'll take them one at a time. Again, in previous weeks we've discussed Baruch Sha'amar, and last week we discussed the first two parts of Hodu, the Hodu, and then the Psukim, the braided, woven, themed, thematic Psukim, beginning with Roman Hashem Elokeinu. And then we continue with the third part of Hodu with Mizmor L'Soda. So on your source sheets, actually, what you have is a little outline of what we're going to discuss today, some of the Rashi Parakim, the main points. And we have, beginning with Mizmor L'Soda, I put the entire parak on the source sheet. I'm just going to grab a sitter there. In the small print in the Siddur, you might see that there's certain days that we don't say Mizmor L'Soda. And it says that one should stand when saying Mizmor L'Soda. Why the stage direction to stand, and why there are some days that we don't say Mizmor L'Soda? The concept, the parak of Mizmor L'Soda, is the 100th chapter, in Tehillim. It concludes a number of chapters which were authored by Moshe Rabbeinu. And this parak of Tehillim was recited in the Beis HaMikdash when one would bring a Karban Toda. The Gemara tells us, Arba Tzrichim Lahodos. There are four different types of people who are required to bring a Karban Toda. The acronym comes from the word Chayim. V'chol HaChayim Yodu Chasela. All those who are alive are required to praise you, Hashem. And the word Chayim can refer to four different types of people who have experience something that requires them to praise, particularly praise Hashem, a chola, and the word ches, somebody who was ill, one who was yisurim, the first yud stands for yisurim, one who was imprisoned, yam, somebody who passes, who has traveled overseas, and mem, midbar, one who traveled through a desert. Certainly in the times of the Gemara, in the times of the Talmud, traveling through the desert was fraught with danger. Traveling overseas was also fraught with danger. Somebody who survived would have to make would bring a carbon toda. Again, the corollary of that nowadays is one who benches gomel. So many who travel overseas have the custom of reciting benching gomel. If a person was hospitalized, they might recite, they would bench gomel. And a person is in a situation, a dangerous situation, and he is spared from that danger, has the obligation to recite Birchas HaGomel, which is the corollary of the times of Beis HaMikdash, bringing a karban toda. So we stand when we say this parak of Tehillim, kind of to correspond to the fact that this is avodas hakarbanos. In other words, it parallels an avoda that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. But there were certain days of the year that a karban toda could not be brought. The Gemara tells us that personal karbanos that are of a personal nature were not brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. On Shabbos and Yom Tov, certainly karbanos were brought in the Beis HaMikdash. The karban tamid was brought. The karban musaf was brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. But personal nidarim and nidavos, vows that a person would bring for karbanos were not brought in the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore a karban toda, which was a personal karban, would not be brought on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are additional days, though, that also a karban toda was not brought. And that was Erev Yom HaKippurim, Erev Pesach, and Chol HaMoed Pesach. Why so? Well, the Erev Yom Kippur has to do with the fact that because one has to fast on Yom Kippur, so that would limit the amount of time that one would be able to consume the karban. And that would cause the karban to have to, because there was a large amount that would have to be eaten, the concern was that would end up rendering a lot of that karban unfit to be eaten, and those that couldn't be eaten in that short window of time, therefore karban toda was not brought on Erev Yom Kippur. But the interesting point, and the next point, is that on Erev Pesach and on Chol HaMoed Pesach, the karban toda wasn't brought, because the Torah tells us that a karban toda was brought, in addition to the animal that was sacrificed, it was brought with a large volume of breads. 30 of those breads were matzah breads, but 10 of those breads were chametz bread, which was very unique. Most karbanos, just about all the karbanos in the Beis HaMikdash, were not brought, did not include anything that was chametz. It was all menachos, all meal offerings in the Beis HaMikdash were generally matzah, were unleavened bread. The exception to that is the Shein HaLechem on Shavuos, which wasn't brought on the Mizbeach, but it was brought next to the Mizbeach, and the karban toda. Karban toda was brought with 10 loaves of chametz bread. Now, as such, it couldn't be brought on Erev Pesach, again, because chametz can only be consumed early on Erev Pesach. Again, that would also limit the time that it could be eaten, and it can't be brought on Chol HaMoed Pesach, because you can't have chametz on Chol HaMoed. And therefore, on Erev Pesach and Chol HaMoed Pesach, we don't recite Mizmar L'Soda. Okay, that's a technical aspect, but there's a very important Hashkafa or Machshava aspect to that as well. What is this combination of chametz and matzah? Why does the Torah command one who's bringing a karban toda to bring a combination of breads, both chametz and matzah? So Schwab points out, in a very interesting comment, that matzah refers to something miraculous. In other words, I don't want to say it's miraculous, something we can eat and digest the matzah, that's not the point. The point is that matzah, an unleavened bread, focuses on Hashem's coordination of things. In other words, a certain element of hanhaga nisis, a supernatural type of interaction. That's what we commemorate through matzah. And that's why matzah is the bread of the holiday of Pesach, where we commemorate Hashem's miraculous intervention in saving Am Yisrael. Chametz refers to natural processes. In other words, you leave the dough, the flour, and the water together to its own design, so to speak, it's going to end up naturally becoming chametz. Interestingly enough, Rav Schwab points out that he thinks that the word matzah comes from the, or is related to the word what we sometimes call it mitzah. In other words, the Torah in Parashas Mishpatim says, "V'chi yinatsu anashim," when men quarrel, when they struggle. The Gemara talks about the mitzus shevemisa achas of medaber. The Torah is talking about a struggle of two people. He interprets, or Schwab interprets, that there's a certain struggle that ensues between the person and the dough to make sure that it does not become chametz. In other words, when a person makes matzah, he's struggling, he's intervening to make sure that the dough does not leaven and does not become chametz. So that represents Hashem's interactive way of orchestrating things. That's matzah. Chametz is something natural. And the Torah is combining both. In other words, when the Torah says for a karban todah, you need to bring both chametz, both the normal matzah offerings, meal offerings, and chametz, the Torah is now combining both the chametz and the matzah. What's the message of this combination? So he explains that the idea is when we thank Hashem for the nes, when we thank Hashem for the represented by the matzah, in other words, a person brings a karban todah, something miraculous happened in their life, something special, they were saved from a difficult situation, we also want to thank Hashem for that which is natural, for the chametz as well. We always include when we thank Hashem for that which is supernatural, we always want to include appreciation that which happens in nature is also thanks to the good graces of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the benevolence of Hashem. Similar to what we find in the parak of Tehillim that we add in to the Psukei de Zimra of Shabbos, the very long, it's called the Hallel Haggadah. Familiar with it from the Haggadah Shal Pesach as well. But the Kili Olam Chasdo, the 26th Psukim of Kili Olam Chasdo, the 136th parak of Tehillim, we say, Hodu Lashem Ki Tov Kili Olam Chasdo. We give a whole list of things that we thank Hashem for. Tremendous things. Hashem, Hosein, Iflaos, Gedolos, Levado, God does these amazing miracles. Hashem made the heavens and He spread out the earth and He took us out of Egypt. Mamaka in Mitzrayim, the Choream, killed all the firstborns in Mitzrayim, Vayotze Yisrael, Mitocham, and the Nir Paro, the Fable of the Yamsuf, and He caused Paro and his army to be churned up in the Yamsuf and allowed us to conquer the land of Israel. And then at the very, very end, Shev Shiflenu, Shev Shiflenu Zacharlanu, Vayifarkenu Mitzarenu, He has redeemed us from all our enemies. And what do we say in the second to last passage? Nosein Lechem Lechol Basar. Hashem gives food, gives bread to all flesh. That seems so mundane, it seems so regular. Why is that coming as the culmination of a whole parak of Kivin Olam Chasdo, all Hashem's greatness, all Hashem's miracles? That's the same idea, that we combine praise to Hashem for the miraculous together with what we sometimes take for granted as the natural. And we appreciate the fact that Nosein Lechem Lechol Basar, Hashem's providing sustenance for each and every one of us, is also an example of Kili Olam Chasdo, of Hashem's great kindnesses. So we find another example of this in Nishmas, in the Nishmas Tila, towards the end of Psukei de Zimra, the culmination of Psukei de Zimra on Shabbos morning. Again, we talk about the fact that Hashem does great things for us. Bera Zantanu, in a time of hunger, Hashem satiates us with a sava kilkatanu, mecherav itzaltanu, midevar milatatanu, mechala and ram and emanam bilisanu. So we've enumerated a number of things in that line. Most of them seem to be kind of out of the ordinary, extraordinary things. Hashem saved us, midevar, there was a pestilence, mecherav itzaltanu, there was a sword, there was difficulty, it was difficult times. And within that line we say, uvisava kilkatanu. And Hashem provided for us and allowed us to be satiated through Hashem's nourishment. Uvisava kilkatanu. Again, the same line where again we combine thanks to Hashem for the extraordinary together with the ordinary. And that's the same point over here, that the karban todah combine both matzah breads and chametz breads. Okay. Rav Schwab asks a very interesting question. If this paragraph is here because it's related to the karbanos, So we have other sections of davening that focus on karbanos. Prior to Psukei de Zimra, there's a whole section in the Siddur that talks about the karbanos, the parshios of the karbanos, the karban tamid, the parak, the mishnayos of Ezel and the Koman, a number of other parshios that discuss the avodah and the Beis HaMikdash. So why was this parak put here in the middle of Psukei de Zimra? It should belong before Psukei de Zimra, together with the karbanos, or maybe at the very end of davening, where we talk about the Shir Shel Yom, that the Levian would sing in the Beis HaMikdash, also connected to the Karban Tamid. Why specifically over here? And what he explains is that actually the Karban Tamid, the Medrash and the Ikar Rabbah, tells us that the Karban Tamid is unique, that Eino Batel Le'olam, the Karban Tamid will never be suspended, even Limos HaMashiach, where other type of Karbanos perhaps will not be brought, let's say a Karban Chatas, so people will be, Limos HaMashiach will be, we won't be, let's say, sinning, hopefully. We won't commit sins. We won't bring a karban chatas. We won't have necessarily our regular wants, because Hashem will provide for all of our needs. But yet, a karban toda, the fact that we will have the opportunity to express praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will exist. Now, I don't know if the particulars will exist in terms of, hopefully there won't be any sickness, or people won't be imprisoned or taken hostage or things like that. But I guess we'll still travel, maybe. We'll travel overseas. I don't know if that's a riot that we should be saying, go when we're on a plane or not. But apparently the Midrash says that the Karban Toda will always exist. And Rav Schwab says, therefore, the Karban Toda is unique. It's separate and distinct from the Karbanos. In other words, it's not placed by Chazal as part of the Seder Hayom of Karbanos before Psukei Zimra, or at the very end of davening together with the Shir Shel Yom, because the Karban Toda has a special place in terms of praise, in rendering praise to Hashem, which almost, in a certain sense, transcends the regular avoda and gives us a special window into our experience of praise, which is something which is eternal, which will never cease to exist. Okay. Let's go to the actual psukim. You have them on the source sheet. Just a couple of thoughts, four thoughts, about the actual psukim of Psukei de Zimra. Nizmar l'soda, song of thanksgiving, of the thanksgiving offering. Hariu l'Hashem kal ha'aretz, shout to the Lord all the earth. Now, here we have another reference to what we've seen already before in Psukei de Zimra, that we do not limit our praise, specifically Am Yisrael. When we're praising Hashem, we try to galvanize the forces of all the nations of the world, of all of humanity, to affirm our appreciation and recognition of Hashem. Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, the entire world. And the Malbim points out, he gives the following mashal. He says, when a king sends his emissaries to do his bidding and to do his will, so the people are used to that. The people are not so surprised that the messengers of the king are coming around to do their duties and to fulfill the will of the king. But if the king himself shows up in the town square, there's going to be a great tumult, there's going to be a great shout, everybody's going to be expressing their excitement that the king himself has arrived. So the Malbim says, Mizmar l'Soda, this parak of Tehillim, which highlights and expresses thanks to Hashem for things that are supernatural, Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, the king himself has showed up. In other words, God himself has shown his hand in everyday events, and that causes an excitement of Hariu l'Hashem kol ha'aretz, call out and shout, herald, a coronation type of call to herald the presence of Hashem. Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha, bo'o l'chanav b'rnana. Serve the Lord with joy, come before him with praise. The Malbim says that when a person approaches another individual, when I have a request that I need to make from somebody else, I'm nervous. I'm not so sure of myself. I'm not sure if my request is going to be granted. And when I come before that person, there's a certain trepidation. There's a certain haltiness that I'm just not sure. Bo'u l'fana birnana, when the Malbim says the word birnana, here it's translated as praise, but I think the Malbim has perhaps a little bit of a nuanced interpretation. Rina means with joy and with exaltation. So come before Hashem with exaltation. In other words, even before our request has been aired, even before we have the opportunity to ask Hashem, we're supposed to have a confidence and appreciation that we have the audience with Hashem. Hashem has the ability to fulfill our requests, and Hashem wants to fulfill our requests when they're in our best interest. So even the ba'ol lifanav, even the approach is berina, is with excitement, the excitement and awareness that we're in front of Hashem, and that Hashem will fulfill those requests that are in our best interest. Ba'ol lifanav berinah. De'u, continuing on to the next side of the page, De'u ki Hashem hu Elokim, know that the Lord is great, hu asanu v'lo anachnu, amo v'tzon ariso. He made us, and we are his people. I think that comma really should be after people. We are his people, and the flock of his pasture. There's a kri and a ksiv in that pasuk. The kri, the ksiv, the way the pasuk is written is v'lo, vav lamed aleph, and not anachnu. In other words, Hashem made us. We didn't make ourselves. What does that mean? Rav Schwab points out that Am Yisrael, our nation, is unique in the nations of the world. There was no consensus to create the nation of Israel. We're not a sovereign state. We're not a democracy, so to speak, in terms of as a nation. We are the nation of the world. And Hashem chose us and created us as his people. So Amo Vitzon Nariso. V'lo Anachno. In other words, we didn't create ourselves. But V'lo, the way it's read, again, it doesn't sound like it's much different for people that Vavlam above or Vavlam and Aleph, it's below either way, but one means not, and below means unto him, that we are Hashem's nation. Some explain homiletically the Kriya Nitziv that as much as we are not to ourselves, so to speak, if we don't take on airs, so to speak, then we are more to him. In other words, we are Hashem's people. We recognize that we are not on our own, but we are his. The two are, in fact, related, the below and the below. Some explain that that actually spells out Elo. If you take those words together, below and below, vav, lamed vav and lamed aleph, which backwards would be Elo, or frontwards, depends if you look at the kri or the ksiv. Okay. Vitzon narisa, or the flock of Hashem's pasture. Just a thought, a favorite thought. It's a little bit of a digression, but it's certainly on this theme. When we say that we are Hashem's flock, we are Hashem's sheep, there's a very beautiful comment of Rav Chaim of Elazhin in his commentary on Pirkei Avos in the second parak. So he comments on the psukim of the 23rd chapter of Tehillim, Mizmar lo David Hashem ro'i lo achzar. God is my shepherd, I shall not want. Benos desha yarbitzeni, alnei menuchos yina aleni. Benos desha yarbitzeni, Hashem lays me down in the pastures, in the fertile pastures. Alnei menuchos yina aleni, he leads me to the waters of tranquility. And what Rav Chaim of Elazhin explains, that what is David HaMelech, he's using these very allegorical metaphors of flock and fertile pasture and waters of tranquility. What does that all mean? So he explains that a sheep will sometimes want to move on. They're ready to go. They're looking for greener pastures. And the shepherd will tell the doesn't tell the sheep, but the shepherd will guide the sheep that the sheep need to, maybe he does tell the sheep, or maybe he'll guide the sheep that the sheep need to stay where they are. Why is he making the sheep stay where they are? Because the shepherd knows that this is the Na'os Desha, that these are the fertile pastures. Beyond the turn, there's nothing to eat. It's barren wasteland for miles and miles. So the shepherd is keeping his flock where they are, even though they want to move on, because the shepherd knows that it's in the best interest of the flock to stay where they are at this point, and to eat, and to fill themselves up, so they'll be able to have the energy to move on. Sometimes, the sheep feel like they want to stay where they are. They're very content with the pastures here. And the shepherd moves them further, and he moves them on. Why? Because Amei Menuchos Yina'aleni, because the shepherd knows that there's water around the bend. And it's important for the sheep to not only have pastures, but also for the sheep to have what to drink. And that's the emuna that David HaMelech is saying that we need to have in Hashem in various times in our lives. There's sometimes in our lives where we feel we want to move on. And providence dictates that we need to stay where we are. And the idea is, Binos Desha Yarbitzeni, we're supposed to believe, again, if we done our due diligence and whatever it is, and we end up where we are, that's Nehos Desha, that's where we need to be. Our shepherd, with a capital S, Hashem, Hashem Ro'i Lo Efsar, is keeping us where we are because that's the fertile pasture for us at that time. And there are other times where we feel we want to stay where we are and we need to move. It's a time where divine providence dictates that we need to move on. And again, it's the same emuna, Amei Menucho Sina Haleni, that the idea is that the reason why we have to move on at that time is because that's where the waters of tranquility will be. That's where we're supposed to be at that point in time. So here, we can reference that here as well, that same thought, Amo Vitzom Ariso, we are Hashem's people, and Vitzom Ariso, the flock of this pasture, alluding to that same concept that earlier, this is Parak Kuf, and that's Parak Chaf Gimel, but alluding to that earlier idea of Hashem Ro'i Lo Efsar. Okay, there's obviously more to discuss, but we're going to try to move on to accomplish all the aspects here on our agenda for today. So just to review, go back to the first slide, we discussed the idea of Mizmor L'Todah representing a Karban Todah, and the four types of people who bring a Karban Todah. Therefore, it's not said on a day that a Karban Todah is not brought. It's a combination, the Karban Todah is a combination of chametz and matzah breads, that theme that we thank Hashem both for the miraculous and the natural. It's distinct from the rest of the Karbanos because it remains, the Medrash says it will remain forever, and therefore it's included as part of the verses of praise of Psukei D'Zimra, distinct from the sections of Tefillah dedicated to Karbanos specifically. And we discussed Hariu L'Hashem Kol Haaretz, calling out to Hashem, Bo L'Fana Bernana, even approaching Hashem with excitement, and then Huasana B'Lo Anachlu, the uniqueness of Am Yisrael being created by Hashem who chose us, and Amo Vitzom Ariso, that Hashem is our shepherd and we are his loyal flock. Okay, moving on to Yehi Chavod. Yehi Chavod, now in the art school sitter, when it comes to Yehi Chavod, not in this sitter, not in the Hebrew one, but the English one, says that we're supposed to have special kavana when it comes to Yehi Chavod. I'm not sure where that comes from. It's good to have kavana at all parts of the davening. But this is a special part of tefillah. It does have a certain point of precedence, or to takes precedence over other parts of tefillah in the hierarchy of Psukei D'Zimra. Somebody last week asked me if I could put together a document of when what people are supposed to do when they come, if they come late to davening or things like that. So I'm still clean nether. I need to work on that, and hopefully we'll have that either next week or the week after. So we've got to come back. Okay, Yehi Chavod is a combination of 18 psukim, and actually even inside of that, there's a one, what looks like a pasuk, but it's really not. We're very familiar with one line, but it's actually a combination of three psukim, Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed, which appears in certainly as a refrain of a piyut on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur Shachris during Chazaras Hashatz. We say it at other points during the year as well. But that's actually not one pasuk. It's a combination of three psukim. Hashem Melech, Hashem Malach, Hashem Yimloch Le'olam Ve'ed. But there are 18 psukim, and there are 19 references of Shem Hashem in the Yehi Chavod section of Tefillah. And that's supposed to be a reference to the Shmona Esrei, the 18 brachos of Shmona Esrei, which are really 19 brachos after Chazal added the bracha of Olam HaShinim. The Gemara in the Sefes Chulin, you have this on the back of the, this is source 2, tells us the following. Darash Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa. Rabbi Chanina Bar Papa said, Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam Yismach Hashem L'Ma'asav, quoting this pasuk, which is a pasuk in the 104th parak of Tehillim. This is part of the famous parak of Barachi Nafshi, which we say on Rosh Chodesh. Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam. The Gemara says, Pasuk Zeh Sar Ha'olam Amru. There was some angel that mentioned this pasuk. At what time? In what context? B'shar Sha'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Liminehu B'ilanos. I'm sorry, that hey and that dalet before, that's from the computer program. Should have taken that out. When Hashem said Liminehu B'ilanos, when Hashem said the word Liminehu, that the trees should maintain their individual species. Nasu T'sha'en Kal V'chomer. So the herbs made a Kal V'chomer Ba'atzma. In Ritzono Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Be'erbuvia, if Hashem wanted a confusion or a mix-up in terms of what Hashem had created, Lama Amar Lamineu Be'ilanos, why did Hashem instruct the trees to remain loyal, so to speak, to their own species? Ve'od Kalachom, Uma Ilanos She'in Darkon Latzeis Be'erbuvia, every tree is kind of unique and stands up tall by itself. Trees don't normally intermingle, maybe branches kind of connect on trees, but trees have their own standing. So if Hashem said, Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu Lamineu, Anu al achas kama v'kama, so certainly herbs or vegetation, grasses that sometimes intermingle and cross over, certainly we need to remain Lamineu, Miyad kol achad v'achad yatsa lamino. So each type of vegetation sprouted within maintaining its own species. Pasach shara olam va'omar yichavod Hashem li'olam yismach Hashem v'asa. So the angel of the world's reaction was yichavod Hashem li'olam. God's grandeur should be forever. Yismach Hashem v'asa. May Hashem be gladdened with that which He created. That pasuk, and what the Gemara is highlighting in that pasuk, speaks about the plan and purpose of creation. In other words, every aspect that Hashem, every thing that Hashem created in this world has its own particular purpose, its own particular job, similar to the comment we spoke about last week, Rav Schwab's comment on Hashem Tzivakos. We ended with last week the idea that every aspect of creation has its own specific role, mission, destiny, and purpose, and therefore we as well, as part of Hashem's creation, have our role and destiny and mission and purpose. And the same thing over here, this Gemara highlights that idea, Yichavod Hashem le'olam yismach Hashem le'ma'asav. Hashem created such a vast and beautiful and multifaceted world, and every aspect has its own special, unique purpose, mission, and role to play. And that includes us as well. So we begin this set of 18 psukim with that expressing that idea, the idea of plan and purpose. And these 18 psukim as well highlight certain themes. We discussed last week the concept of nigadelcha, that the word that we mention in Baruch Shamar, that we kind of braid psukim, we interweave certain psukim that share common themes. That's part of this section of Sukkot de Zimra. And as well over here, we have certain themes that are braided together. The psukim that follow, Yichavod, Yishem Hashem Nivorach Me'atav Yad Olam, Mimizrach Shemesh Am Nivorom, Mulol Shem Hashem, Ram Al Kovim Hashem Al Shamayim Kvodo. So we say that Hashem's name should be blessed for now and forever. Mimizrach Shemesh Am Nivorom, from the east, from the rising of the sun until where it sets, Mulol Shem Hashem, Hashem's name is praised. Ram Al Kovim Hashem, Hashem is raised unto all nations, al Hashemayim Kivodo, Hashem's glory and honor is in the heavens. Those psukim are taken from Halal, from the 113th parak of Tehillim. That's the opening parak in Halal. And one sort of Rabbi Foreman pointed out that when we say Mimizrach Shemesh Ad Mevo'ol, oh, we're saying that geographically God is on top of all the nations, from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun, geographically, and then Ramal Kogayim Hashem politically. In other words, in all political nations, so whether we talk about the globe geographically or we talk about the political structure and makeup of all the nations of the world, we praise Hashem as being Miromam, as being on top of all of the entire world. The first strand of psukim talk about the malchus of Hashem. Hashem shimcho le'olam, Hashem zichrcho le'dardar, Hashem ha'shamayim ichim kiso u'malchuso v'kol hashava. Then we move on and talk about the atzas Hashem and machshavos libo, the fact that Hashem orchestrates every aspect of creation with plan and purpose. We talk about the uniqueness of Am Yisrael, Ki Bachar Hashem B'Tzion, Ivo L'Moshavo, God chose the nation of Israel and Tzion Yerushalayim as His seat, Ki Yaakov Bachar Lo Ka, Hashem chose the nation of Yaakov, Yisrael, Esplosso, the nation of Israel is His treasure. And we end with the pasuk of Vuhurachum Nichater Avon V'Lo Yashvis. We ask, we pray for divine mercy. Now, this is a pasuk that we've mentioned earlier, and we actually mentioned it again in davening in other contexts as well. Earlier, though, in this very same part of tefillah, the second theme Rav Schwab spoke about was rachmanut, was mercy. Urachumis Akaravon, it's on the previous page. So Rabbi Schwab says that actually they are referring to, we try to evoke rachamim for the individual, on an individual level. In other words, if we have fallen short individually, we ask Hashem to be merciful with us, that Hashem should hold off his wrath and not to arouse anger against us. And here, we pray communally as a nation, and if as a nation we've fallen short, we just mentioned the theme of Hashem choosing Am Yisrael as his nation. So if as a nation we've fallen short, we try to evoke the rachamim of Hashem. There's obviously more, but that's the parak of Yehi Chavod. Again, so just to review, we discussed that there are 18 psukim and 19 references of Shem Hashem. The opening pasuk of Yehi Chavod Hashem Le'olam, which the Gemara describes, talking about the plan and purpose of Hashem, highlights that theme of purpose of every aspect of creation. And we have a number of thematic ideas fitting into that same theme, that overarching theme of Negadelcha, woven, braided prayer, the themes of Malchus of Hashem, the fact that Hashem orchestrates everything through his Atzas Hashem, the special station of Am Yisrael as Hashem's chosen nation, and the fact that we ask Hashem for mercy here communally or nationally, in addition to the asking for mercy individually. Okay, now we're going to move on to Ashrei. Now, Ashrei Yoshvei Beisecha Odeh Alucha Sela, we refer to it as the parak and the tefillah of Ashrei. That's what it's known as. It's referred to that in the Gemara as well. But in fact, if we look at it in the Siddur, it's actually not really Ashrei. What does that mean? This section of Psukei Dezimra is now, according to the Gemara, really the main part of Psukei Dezimra, are the last six chapters of Tehillim, from Perek Kuf Mem Hei, 145, until Perek Kuf Nun, 150. The last six chapters of Tehillim now comprise, we'll call it the bulk of Psukei Dezimra. But the 145th chapter of Tehillim does not begin with the word Ashrei. It begins with the word Tehillah leDavid, a praise to David, and then starts with the Aleph Beis going from Aleph to Taf, again skipping Nun. So where did Ashrei come from? Where did those psukim come from? So in fact, there are two psukim which we append to the beginning of Tehillah leDavid. The second of the two is quite a natural connection because it's the last pasuk of the previous chapter of Tehillim. It's the last pasuk of the 144th chapter of Tehillim. Ashrei ha'am shekachalo, Ashrei ha'am shehashem elokav. So that's kind of a natural progression. It's a lead-in to the parak, which begins with Tehillah leDavid. But the first pasuk, Ashrei yoshvei beisecha odeh alucha sela, it seems to be a non-sequitur. It comes from the 84th chapter of Tehillim. Ashrei yoshvei beisecha, praiseworthy are those who dwell in their homes, Odeh alucha sela. They will continuously praise Hashem. But why is that here? Where did that come from? And why did Chazal seek to append that to this parak of Tehillim? So obviously, it's coming as a certain introduction. It's an introduction to this paragraph, this 145th chapter of Tehillim. If we look at the Gemara for a moment, maybe we'll have a little insight to what kind of introduction this is. There are two Gemaras. Let's start with a source Dalet, which is a smaller one, and then we'll get back to source Gimel. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Lamed Beis Lamed Beis tells us, Chasidim harishonim, Hayushoin Shah Achas. The Mishnah at the opening of the fifth parak of Bracha says that the original pious people would wait for an hour before they would daven, then they would daven for an hour, and then they would need another hour to try to re-engage, so to speak, with this world. So it's almost like in the exercise routine, but in other words, here you have the warm-up. They needed an hour of warm-up, they had an hour of exercise, and then an hour of cool down. And that's how they davened. It was a three-hour, I don't want to say production, but it was a three-hour process of davening. Okay. And the Gemara asks, that's at the beginning of the fifth parak, the Gemara commenting on this asks, Mina hanimili, where did this come from? Where do we know that this idea exists of this whole hour of preparation to daven? Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Amar Kra, Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secha. The pasuk says, Ashrei Yoshvei Be'Secha, praiseworthy are those who dwell in your house. And Rashi commenting on the Gemara says, and then Od Yahaluf Haselah. So it's almost like we need to be a Yoshvei Be'Secha. We need to be somebody who's comfortable in the context, in the framework of Hashem's house, and then Od Yahaluf Haselah, and then we can render praise to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. First, to be a Yoshvei Be'Secha, the Hasidim HaRishonim would wait for an hour first. Okay. Well, how do we? What does that mean? To be a Yoshvei Be'Secha and then to be Yahalalucha. So, Rav Schwab explains the following, that we need to contemplate, the process of being a Yoshvei Be'Secha means to contemplate our relationship with Hashem. When we're davening, we try to engage Hashem in conversation. Now, as a mortal man, what does that mean to engage the divine, to engage Hashem, who is immortal, in prayer? So he says it's a combination. There's a combination of Ahava and Yira. The first approach is that we express appreciation. Wow, we have this opportunity to engage Hashem in tefillah. In other words, the God, the master of the universe, who created everything, has a personal relationship, has a personal interest with me, and is interested in having a conversation with me, and is involved in my world, is involved in all the goings-on that happen in my life. That leads to Ahava. But then, there's a concept of Yira, an awe that if we really are cognizant and aware of the fact that we are engaging and entering a conversation with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that should elicit within us a certain awe. And there's a certain combination here of Ahava, love and appreciation and excitement, and then at the same time, awe, trepidation, fear of this interaction, of this engagement. In a cute way, he says that that's perhaps the idea of why we sway back and forth during davening. There's a biblical reference to this as well. It doesn't point this out here, but the malachim, there's a pasuk that talks about malachim going back and forth. The back and forth of tefillah is coming close, and then stepping back. In other words, engaging, and then realizing that we need to step back. So there's the ahava and the yira aspect as part of that sway in davening. And he says that's also the idea that we find within Ashrei, within the prayer of Ashrei, we have a difference in tense. Sometimes it's in the second person, b'lashon nochach, aromincha elokai hamelech, I will praise you, my God, the King, v'avarcha shimcha, and I will bless your name. That's b'lashon nochach. We're talking directly to Hashem. And then we switch, gadol Hashem l'muhul ha'ma'or, that God is great and is exceedingly praised. But that's not addressing Hashem directly. That's third person. And it goes back and forth. Dor l'dor yishabach ma'asecha. From generation to generation, we praise your actions. That's back in second person. And then we go back, chanun v'rachum Hashem. Hashem is gracious and merciful. We don't say, chanun v'rachum ata, chanun v'rachum Hashem. Why this back and forth, the switch between second person and third person? So Schwab says that's that same idea. In other words, the second person, the idea of Aromimcha Elokai HaMelech, my God, Dor L'Dor Yishabach Ma'asecha, that's the Ahava, we're coming close. But then we need to step back. The third person, the Gadol Hashem, Chanun V'Rachum Hashem, that is connotes the idea of stepping back, that's the Yira. We have a similar idea in terms of Birchos HaMitzvos, which we might be familiar with. Let's say we make a bracha, we wash Netilas Sedayim. Netilas Sedayim is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon, but it has a bracha as well. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Asher Kidashanu Mitzvos V'Tzivanu Al Netilas Yadayim. Now, in that bracha itself, we switch the tense. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Baruch Ata. Ata means you. We're talking directly to Hashem. Asher Kidashanu B'Mitzvos Sav. We should have said Asher Kidashanu Mitzvos Secha. that you sanctified us through your mitzvos. We said, Atah, why through mitzvosav, that he sanctified us through his mitzvos. And that change in tense is that same idea that we relate to Hashem both directly and indirectly. We have this dual aspect of what we call Ahava and Yira, where we come close, but we need the coming close itself needs to engender a step back, that we take a step back as well. Okay. So the pasuk of Ashrei Yoshvei V'Secha now defines what the parak is all about. And therefore, we preface the Hillel and David. Hillel and David is this back and forth. Ashrei Yoshvei V'Secha, Odeh Aluch HaSel. We need to engage in appreciating the fact that we are in the presence of Hashem, we are Yoshvei V'Secha, which will allow us to then render praise to Hashem in this back and forth type of way, just coming close and then stepping back. And therefore, it's the preface to Hillel David. It's not only a preface here to this section of Psukei Dezimra, it's specific to this parak of Hillel David. In other words, at Mincha, when we say Ashrei, we're also saying Hillel David, but we also preface it with Ashrei. There's also a reference to the... Well, I'll get to that in a second. So this preface, so we just discussed this combination of Ahava and Yira, this two-sided way of approaching Hashem. Rav Hirsch points out, and this I'm quoting Rav Schwab, who quotes Rav Hirsch, that the pasuk should have said Yoshevim. Why is it Yoshevei Veisecha? There's a pasuk in Parakuf Lamed Aleph which talks about Ha'omdim Beveis Hashem Laleos Ha'omdim. So the parallel to that would be Yoshevim. Why Yoshevei? Also, Rav Schwab asks Yoshevei Beisecha. What bias are we referring to? It would seem to be the Beis Hamikdash. Now we're not allowed to sit in the Beis Hamikdash. So the Gemara Maseches Yuma says that the only ones who are allowed to sit in the Azara were Malchus Beis David. The kings were allowed to sit in the Beis Hamikdash, but everybody else had to stand in the Beis Hamikdash. Now, similar to what we mentioned before, that we stand with Mizmar the Soda. So why are we talking about Yoshevei Beisecha? So Rav Hirsch explains that Yoshevei Beisecha over here connotes Yoshevei versus Yoshevim connotes a constant. Yoshevei Beisecha is someone who's constantly sitting in Hashem's house. Now how can that be? We are not physically allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash, and obviously we wouldn't spend our entire day in the house of Hashem. So the answer is that the point is not physically being in the house of Hashem, the point is in our mindset of keeping in our minds that we are in Hashem's global house at all times. The concept of Shivisi Hashem Linegdi Summit, that I place Hashem in front of me at all times. And the idea of Ashrei Yoshevei Veisecha, so praiseworthy, is one who is able to be a Yoshevei Veisecha, a person who is able to take that perspective of being in the presence of Hashem and live with that in all aspects of a person's life. When a person's davening, when a person's working, when a person's shopping, when a person's exercising, whatever a person's doing, that person who's able to be Yoshevei Veisecha is a person who is Ashrei, a person who is constantly exceedingly blessed and wealthy. And that's the idea, Rav Hirsch says, in the Gemara, which was source 3 on the score sheet, the Gemara that says as follows. Amar, this is the Gemara in Brachos on Daf Dalet on the base, Amar Rav Elazar, Amar Rav Avina, Kala Omer, Tehillah LeDavid, B'chol Yom Shalosh Pa'amim. If a person says, Tehillah LeDavid, each day, 3 times, and we have it as part of the Seder HaTfilah, we have it twice in Shacharis and once in Mincha, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben HaOlam Haba. He is guaranteed to be a Ben Olam Haba. So Rav Schwab says it's not talking about lip service. It's not somebody who just earns a ticket to the world to come just by saying a couple of words. It's not an incantation or a formula. The point is that somebody who's able to live with this perspective 3 times, he says, refers to all aspects of a person's life, all different types of experiences. The positive experiences, the experiences which perhaps don't seem so positive, a person is able to take on a perspective of being a Yoshevei Veisecha. Yoshevei Veisecha, of having this perspective of Shivisi Hashem L'Negdi Samid, then he's Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. Perhaps we can say that not only Ben Olam Haba, in other words, earning a ticket to the next world, but even a Olam Haba in this world as being Asher, being blessed with living with that constant awareness of feeling the constant support and embrace of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. at home, you sometimes have a different interpretation of Asher Yoshev Yisecha. We say that if this can never match that which is at home, certainly in my parental home, that's true as well, at home as well. But Asher Yoshev Yisecha, praiseworthy is one who's able to sometimes be at home as well. Okay, that's if the food at the restaurant wasn't as good as at home. Say Asher Yoshev Yisecha, you get a better meal at home. Okay, that Gemara, if we take the Gemara, the next point of the Gemara continues as follows. The Gemara asks, the Gemara kind of intuits this idea that it's not just lip service and it's not just earning a ticket just by saying things. The Gemara says, "My kaima, why? Why is Tehillah LeDavid such a special prayer?" And the Gemara says, "Even when we shum the Asya ba'alef beis, if you're going to say that it because it was formulated by David through the letters of the Aleph Beis, Neima ha'ashrei smimei derech, da'asya b'tmanya apim." Well, the 119th parak of Tehillim has 8 psukim for each letter of the Aleph Beis. So it's 8 times perhaps as great as Ashrei. Ashrei has 1 pasuk for each letter, again, minus the Nun. But the 119th chapter, which is the largest chapter of Tehillim, is 22 times 8, because it has 8 psukim for each letter of the Aleph Beis. Must be that the special status of Ashrei, or Tehillah LeDavid, I should say, is because of the pasuk of Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol ha'ratzon, that Hashem, you open up your heart, excuse me, you open up your hand, and you satiate the needs of all people. So the Gemara says, one second, there's another pasuk that seems to say that, Nima hal ha'gadol v'sidei nosein lechem l'chol basar. What about Halal HaGadol that has that line which we mentioned earlier, Nosein Lechem L'chol Basar, that Hashem provides food for all creations? Elam Mishon De'isbeit Tarti. The uniqueness of Ashrei is it has both. It has both the Aleph Beis structure and it has this line that Hashem providing for all the needs of all of His creatures, of all that's been created. What's this concept of combination of the Aleph Beis and this idea of the pasuk of Poseach es yodecha? So Rav Schwab says as follows. Says that actually Poseach es yodecha is a transition point within the parak of Tehillah LeDavid. The first part of Tehillah LeDavid refers to praise of Hashem, la'asid lavo. When everything will be glorious, when everything will be perfect, that will elicit great praise from the entire creation, from Am Yisrael, from all the nations of the world. But then there's a switch. Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol ha'ratzon refers to the day-to-day that we live with now, where not everything seems so glorious, where there are ups and downs, there are ins and outs. Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol ha'ratzon. Everybody has needs, everyone has wants, and we know that Hashem is able to open up His benevolent, kind, limitless hand, and provide for all of our needs. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Nun Aleph, the Zion says that a person actually needs to have Kavanah, it's not just the Arch Sitter here, needs to have Kavanah, the Pasuk of Poseach es yodecha, to the extent that if somebody didn't have Kavanah, he's supposed to repeat that Pasuk. This is the Pasuk, so to speak, of this parak of Tehillim, Poseach es yodecha u'masbi'a l'chol ha'ratzon. And Rav Schwab says as follows, the combination that the Gemara refers to of the Aleph Beis structure and this pasuk of Poseach es yodecha, and the idea that we need to have Kavanah